You're listening to the Salty Saints Podcast with Will and Angela Williams, a podcast meant to motivate you, encourage you, and sometimes convict you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in your faith, and stand firm to the end. Here are the Salty Saints.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. We are going to be talking today about 1 Peter chapter 3, and there's a lot of really good stuff just in the first 12 verses, so we're going to make this podcast over that. So we hope everyone's doing good, having a good week, and we'll just jump right in after we pray.
Hey guys, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come to you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have, Lord. We thank you for each person that is listening right now and that's going to listen. Lord, we thank you for just giving us your word. And Lord, we just ask for open ears and eyes to your word today, Lord, that please give us the words to speak and to be accurate in what we are saying. Lord, we want to be true to what your word says, Lord. We don't want to just have our opinions. We want it to be what it actually says. So, Lord, just please open our hearts as well and our eyes and ears to the truth. We love you. Lord, we're going to be talking about a lot of things today. And, Lord, I pray that it will bless someone that might need to hear this. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, let's go ahead and read the text. And we always read out of the New Living Translation. So, starting in verse 1 of chapter 3, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil.
Man, we couldn't have picked a more controversial chapter.
Well, we didn't pick it. That's what happens when you just go through the Word of God.
Yeah, this is a very this chapter is not preached a whole lot in a lot of churches, so it is very controversial. But it's there. It's in the Word, and it also gives insight that that we all need. Yeah. And so I'm really excited about talking about this and just seeing what it says, what you just read, being read out loud is very convicting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it convicted me just the portions that I know that are toward me as a husband and mm-hmm. as a believer. I'm very convicted over it.
And your portion is small. My portion compared to mine. I was thinking that whenever I first read it, I'm like, oh, that's quite a much bigger section for the wives than the husbands.
And, you know, reading it, when we read this out loud and we take the word, and a lot of times, just saying this, a lot of people criticize Paul for saying and trying to belittle women. You know, that's what a lot of unbelievers or people that are more liberal will say. But this is not Paul. This is Peter.
Mm-hmm.
So this is someone that that usually don't get bashed for this. It's usually Paul, you know. So when we look at Peter and we look at that he walked closely with the Lord and he sees we see his life and he says something about husbands and wives, we should our ears should perk up and we should see what does he say about it. Mm-hmm. And when we read it, we need to ask some important questions about it.
Mm-hmm.
Wives, when you read that, there's a lot of trigger words for you, a lot of present day understanding of husbands and wives.
Yeah, for sure. You know? And we talked about that in our episode that we did over our testimony and marriage. We talked a little bit, you talked to the men and I talked to the women about what our lives should look like within our marriage. You know, what are the roles of a biblical woman? What are the roles of a biblical man? And what is the need that we both have? You know, for the man, it's respect. For the woman, it's love, mm-hmm. you know, and how we can, how powerful our testimony is within our marriage to a watching world, you know, because in Christ, we have been called not only as individuals, you know, as me as a woman and you as a man to mm-hmm. be children of God that live our own testimony in front of a watching world, but we also have that call within our marriage that, you know, so it's kind of like people see how we live our life as individuals, but then they also are watching what we look like within a marriage. Mm-hmm. And so that's a huge testimony that we can either, you know, give glory to God in, or we can fail in,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. And you know, the speaking to people that are saved together right at this moment, we can still fail. Even when you have two believers that are actually, they love one another, we can still mess up with our testimony because we can get into the flesh and we can get into an argument and allow our own desire to get ahead of what God really wants us to do.
Oh yeah,
and,
for sure.
And we have to really, you know, realize that our testimony is the most important thing. It, you know, and this is, I mean, you live with the same person for, we've been together 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been saved going on 15 years.
Yeah.
So even at that, you know, that amount of time, or even you have someone that's been, you know, double that.
Yeah.
There could be moments where we fail and we have to really look back and say, okay, this is a time for repentance.
Mm-hmm.
But also speaking to people that might only have one, you know, one person, if the wife is saved and the husband is not.
Well, it talks about that.
That's what this here in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get the world involved, like if a woman, and I'm just throwing this out there, like, you know, because this is something that ever since I've been a little kid, everybody knows who Oprah is. You know, if a woman is like engulfed with the mindset of how Oprah, you know, teaches them, and then it goes again, does it go against God? Yes. But they might have this idea in their mind that, you know, oh, well, you know, he needs to get on the right page and have this attitude. Well, the word tells us opposite than that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to win him over because you're in love with Jesus.
That's right. And he can observe your pure and reverent life. So I know we talk about that a lot, you know, and that ties in with our testimony. What are we portraying to the world? What are we portraying to our husband or our wife?
Yeah.
You know, if one of us is a believer and the other isn't. I mean, that the spouse would be the biggest opportunity for a witness or evangelism, you know, that they're watching your lifestyle. They're watching every day how you live.
Yeah. Who are the most qualified to call you a hypocrite than your own spouse?
Yeah.
Because they know you more and closely than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out there, you know, in, you know, portraying yourself as one thing, as a godly person, but when you get home, you're this horrible human being, then your testimony of Jesus has went out the window.
Yeah. Or even if you're not horrible, but you're just not living up to what you're, you know,
yeah,
practicing.
I just did
one preach.
Extreme to the other.
Yeah.
But yeah, even if it's just a minor things that you probably even talk against out in the open, but behind the scenes you don't, then it can cause an unbeliever to stumble, especially if that unbeliever is your spouse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know? Can cause them really to never want to come to Christ. Mm-hmm. So we really need to be careful with the opportunity and the responsibility that we have. And so that continues on, you know, talking about hypocrisy. I think it does a really good job, Peter does, of going into talking about the importance of our inner person. Mm-hmm. You know, God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart.
Right.
God says that what makes us blessed as women in his sight is a gentle and quiet spirit. You know, someone who is respectful, a woman who fears the Lord. You know, that's what it talks about in Proverbs 31, mm-hmm. that a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Mm-hmm. Your physical appearance, your looks are going to fade every single day. We're dying a little bit more every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, not saying that it's wrong to, you know, take care of yourself. Obviously, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, we want to stay...
It's the vanity aspect of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, the word, you know, verse 3 and 4 is really, there's two, when I read this, I have two images in my mind. I have one where you can be as legalistic mm-hmm. as possible, but then you can completely ignore this
yeah.
and dress as provocative as you can and say that it doesn't matter. And I believe it's saying neither.
Yeah.
It's saying that a woman, you know, we was having this talk about women
yesterday
with our son.
Yeah.
And this is I think it's a huge thing is whenever, you know, when you have women today or young girls and they dress as provocative as they can and someone makes a comment about it and they get upset, you know, that is a huge, I mean, I think they're trained in our day and time to dress a certain way, but yet they want to be seen as not, you know, provocative. They don't want to seem as a stripper versus, you know, someone that's, you know, dressing as a Puritan. You know, yeah. we have this two separate sides,
mm-hmm.
but when you look at the heart and you see the heart of a woman that is after God, that is what's going to make her beautiful.
That's right.
And her dressing is going to be I think, in line with that.
Yeah, exactly. Any respectable woman wants to clothe herself, you know, well, where she doesn't have, make men stumble. And, you know, I mean, she just doesn't want to provoke that kind of attention toward herself. She doesn't, I mean, that's my opinion.
And also, as a man... I would not want you to dress in a very provocative way because, yeah. I mean, I don't want men to look
and
at you that way.
I wouldn't want that. And my heart is not there. And I want to please my Heavenly Father above all things, but also you, my husband. So it is definitely a respect thing, you know?
Yes. And, you know, and when we read what God says in this, it's hard to argue against this. But yet we do argue against all of Scripture because a lot of times people leave it at the wives. They don't keep going down to see what it has to say about husbands.
Mm.
And I'll get into that in a minute. But if we leave it at the wives, then it looks like the husband is this horrible, you know, person that's just forcing them to dress like a Puritan. And that's not it at all. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be where the woman's desire is really the first and foremost, as you said, to please God,
mm-hmm.
than her husband. That's the
and
order
when
of
the
things.
Holy Spirit lives in you, he will convict you. And it's a process of growth. Like, I can remember looking back at the beginning of our walk. You know, we were much younger. I mean, 15 years ago, you know. And there are things that it takes a little while. It's a process mm-hmm. of, you know, growing in maturity and growing in, you know, just listening to your convictions mm-hmm. on, you know, I can remember things that I wore back then that I would not wear now. I mean, we came from, you know, first being saved and we were living in a worldly, you know, party lifestyle and going out to the club still. And, you know, in my early and mid 20s. So, it was a process, mm-hmm. but it's one that, you know, looking back now, I mean, I can see how far God has brought me, and the way that I dressed back then, I would never dress that way now. Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of my heart. back then I wanted attention. I wanted to feel pretty. I want, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. I mean, everything that the world tells us that we should do.
And that prettiness like. That they try to push on is a false pretty.
Yeah.
It is a false sense of beauty.
Yeah.
And, you know, and really men don't have any respect for women that dress that way. That's the reason why most men treat women the way they do because they're enticing them.
Right.
To feel that way.
Well, we live in a culture that is so pervasive with porn and, you know, and really, I mean, that is such a detrimental thing on both men and women. You know, it destroys a man, you know, as you know, and as mm-hmm. we've talked about before on here, that, you know, that was a huge struggle for you. It also was a huge struggle, you know, for me in a different way, being with men who, not that I had that issue, you know, but, and I know a lot of women do these days, but I had the issue of a super low self-esteem because of being with men who that was what they mm-hmm. looked at. And, you know, so it's just, I mean, we definitely have seen what a cultural view of beauty and, you know, fulfillment and satisfaction and even what the world tells you that a marriage should look like. We've seen all of it. You know, we've been a product of divorce. We've been divorced. We've had all of these different struggles and addictions and things in our life that have come about because of seeking a worldly beauty, seeking, yeah. You know, I've struggled with eating disorders and all of these kind of things because of thinking that I had to look a certain way that the society tells me that I need to look like, rather than going to God's word and seeing, mm-hmm. God, what do you want for me? Oh, you say that it's a gentle and quiet spirit that you're looking for mm-hmm. of a woman, that's what makes me beautiful, and not, you know, this strong, independent woman that the world has told me that I should be as well.
And sadly, we see that in most marriages today,
yeah.
That the women are in charge of the household
mm-hmm.
and the men are really passive in that.
Yeah.
And that's a normal, really a normal way of looking at it. When you say what is a husband and wife, the husband is always the you know, he's not over his family. The right. wife is.
And you see the marriage unit of what God desires, you see it break down. You have the man that's not leading the family, that he's not the spiritual head and covering. So the woman is either, you know, going off her own way, or she's trying to be the head. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work the way that God intends it. That's not his best for us.
So when we see, you know, I want to get to the part where you call me Lord. I didn't know.
I bet you do.
I want to get to that part because that seems very interesting. No, I'm teasing. You know, when we read stuff like that in the Bible, it can go.
My version says master.
Oh, master. So, master. So we look at that and you get that reaction that, you know, I wouldn't expect you to call me Lord or master. You know,
I hope not.
No, but at the same time, what does that mean? That was a cultural thing at that moment of the way Abraham and all of them, you know, lived. But it doesn't change the fact that he was the head, you know, and God, he stresses that the man is the head of the family.
Yep. And guess what just popped into my mind? Even though Abraham screwed up royally with, you know, Hagar and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, went off his own, you know, that whole thing. But also, I mean, that was Sarah, you know, overstepping her bounds and trying to take things into her own hands, just like Eve. So what God gives us as a husband over us as our covering, he's our protection. We're fixing to get in. It's going to say that your wife is the weaker. You know,
that's another trigger word. I was going to say there's a couple of trigger words for women because, you know, they don't want to be called weaker because we live in such an age
of feminism.
I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, you even when you're looking at comic book characters to world, oh, I mean, gosh. And, you know, you see, you know, from Charlie's Angels to all these different aspects of women being stronger than men. But the idea of it is there's a place for everything. Women are stronger in certain areas where men are stronger in certain areas. A man can't have a baby. I said that. Men cannot cannot have children, and we could not bear it.
Right.
We could not do it. We could not even handle the pain in that.
And let me tell you, you wouldn't want to.
No, I don't want to. I don't know why men say they want to do that. That God gave that to women.
That's right.
And I'm happy for that. I really am. But
well, me too. It's something special that we can have. And, you know, just like, God created us as equals. And I know that's what, why don't we just go ahead and get into it so we...
So let's just get into the husbands. I'm not going to spend a whole lot here, but it needs to be said. It says in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should so your prayers will not be hindered. This part of Scripture talks about husbands. When you look at other scriptures that says that we should love our wives as Jesus loves the church.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 5. So when you look at that and you look at what Peter says here, that is a huge, huge humility that we have to come across and actually fulfill. I need to fulfill that it's not about me, it's all about you, my wife.
It's all about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus, but it's about me submitting my life so that you can see Jesus in me.
Yeah.
And that you can see me as someone that's equal, but yet my role is there.
Mm-hmm.
And yet love you more than I love me.
Yes.
And so that is huge. You don't mm-hmm. see that in men today. Men don't want to love their wives the way that they should. Bowing down to your wife is not the same as, you know, loving her.
Yeah.
And a lot of times today we get that confused when we look at the whole mindset of what a husband should be. A husband is not just someone that goes out and brings home a paycheck.
Right.
A husband teaches his wife, disciples his wife in Christ.
Yeah.
And
serves with his wife.
Serves with his wife. There's so much to a husband that we have a lot of responsibility. God gave that to us for a reason. And we have let that go. We have failed in society with that, especially here in America.
Yeah.
So,
because the farther we get away from God's word and, you know, allow the culture to dictate. And I know, as we've talked about many times, you know, the culture has come into the church even and has dictated a lot of things, you know, and marriage is one of them.
Yeah, it's definitely it's something that we have ruined because you have marriage that is also tainted within homosexuality and all these other things mixed in with it. So, yeah. So we keep moving forward in our scripture reading, and it said now he talks about all Christians, and he says finally, you know, we should be of one mind, love each other. That's the thing that I do not see a lot of mm-hmm. within the body of Christ is true love for one another.
Yeah.
We see a false love while you're sitting where you're at in church, but you don't see a whole lot of it on the other end.
A depth of intimacy. I mean, and it tells right here all the surrounding, sentences of that verse. Sympathize with one another. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted. Keep a humble attitude. You know, we don't repay evil for evil or retaliate insults with insults when people, or retaliate with insults when people insult us. Instead, we pay them back with a blessing. So, and it tells us that God will grant us His blessing because He has called us to do this. So He calls us to love with a brotherly love for the body of Christ. And he tells us how we're supposed to look, and it's to look like him, to look like Jesus
mm-hmm.
in all that we do. And really, we're called to treat everyone that way, not just the body of Christ, but we're called to be that way to unbelievers. We're to shine our light.
Bring your testimony forward.
Yes.
We should always be looking to bring our testimony forward. And if you can't do that with people that are like-minded with you, how can you do that with unlike-minded people?
Right.
In fact, it tells me that you're probably going to yoke up with the most strongest spirit in that place. I'm talking about wherever you're at. And if there's a spirit of unbelief there, you're going to yoke up to that,
like
because
wherever you, like work
or wherever you might be. So we must be strong in our faith by being humble in our faith and loving the ones that are weaker in the faith.
Yeah.
That goes right back to even loving your wife as the weaker vessel. Mm-hmm. It goes back to loving others that are in the faith that are weaker in the faith. And what really stood out to me on all this, because it goes all the way back up, it says, for husbands, it says, treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Mm. And then you look at verse 12, it says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. So for me to treat my wife rightly, to love her rightly, my prayers will be heard. Mm-hmm. But if it says, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil, some versions say practice evil. So if I'm mistreating my wife, or I'm mistreating, people in the faith, or mistreating unbelievers, then my prayers are going to be hindered. And that tells me right there that is something I need to really think about, because God really wants us to live our testimony rightly out in front of each and every person.
And not be a hypocrite. It goes back to the section for the women, you know, that it's the state of our heart, the state of our spirit. You know, are we living pure and reverent lives? I mean, that's what it all boils down to. And I know we talk about this on every podcast, because it's in every portion of God's word. You cannot get around it. You can't excuse it. You can't reason it away. God wants a people that look like his son, plain and simple.
Yes. And we cannot make excuses that I'm just a sinner. You're no longer just a sinner. You are a saint.
Because what does this say again? That your wife is your equal partner in God's gift of new life.
New life.
His gift of new life. If we claim that we have been born again, brought into a saving relationship with Christ, and have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we have been given a new life, and we have a new character, a new personality, a new heart. I mean, everything is new. Mm-hmm. Behold, he makes all things new.
Amen.
So I thought that this part was really good, that, you know, going back up a little bit, you had talked about verse 12, but you skipped 10 and 11, because it says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and turn your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. So again, it just goes along with what all we just said about putting off, you know, the evil, the old us, and living our new life in Christ, walking closely with the Lord, searching for peace and working to maintain it. That is the answer. I mean, he gives us the key right there. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days. And who doesn't? Who doesn't want to live a happy life?
Right. And I always hear it. This is something that's always been said. Happy wife is a happy life. You know?
Yep.
And so I really believe that. You know, we need to love our wives. We need to, I'm talking to husbands out there, so that, you know, and that means that, how do we treat them? We treat them with, you know, we love them. We treat them with respect. We show them respect. Where the wives too show the respect of the husbands, but I'm talking about husbands. We want to have an enjoyable life with our partner, with our wife.
Yeah, and you know, I'll just say this real quick, because we had talked about it right before the podcast. You know, a big focus of our ministry and our mission, I guess you could say, our podcast, our life, all that we do, we're always thinking about being prepared for the day that Jesus returns. We want to be ready. We want to have our lamps filled with oil. Mm-hmm. We want to be prepared. We want to prepare all of you. We want to encourage you and equip you to stand firm to the end. It matters so much. And as we discussed, you know, our husband and wife, we are going to be that unit that outlasts everything else, you know, more than likely. We're each other's closest companion, relationship, and confidant. So we want to be happy. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is the answer, as he is to all things. And we need to have our marriage built around him.
So I hope you enjoyed this. I really do. I hope this might get you something that you can use throughout the week. Yep. So we really appreciate it. We love you guys. And remember, go share Jesus with someone.
See you next time. Bye, y'all.
Thanks so much for listening in to the podcast. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. You can listen to our previous shows and read our blog post at www.saltysaints.blog.